Hey guys, welcome to this catch-up. It's thanks to Prezi. Prezi lets you send digital gift cards from major retailers instantly in just seconds. If you buy any gift card today at digitalgiftcards.com.au, you could win a $250 gift card. Permit number LTPM160177.
The Ruined It's for Breakfast catch-up sounds better with a coffee. Save time and pre-order your coffee now on the new Jibo app. 104.7 Triple M.
Thursday, JR and Snowy filling in for 1M Roshuto and C Dittmar. Top today of 26 with a chance of a shower and a slight thunderstorm possibly this afternoon.
Looks crazy a bit grey out there this morning.
It does. At the moment, it is 12 degrees. We're here thanks to Jibo, the new app. If you download this app, cost you nothing, and you order a coffee through it, you could also, you might need to order a bigger garage because you could win yourself a Ferrari 360 Spider.
Thank you very much. A few things you need to know as you go off to work or play today, and that is, this is disturbing, this is based on crime statistics, a website called myboot.com.au, five suburbs from each state in Australia where that have been listed as areas with the largest or the highest crime rate.
Ooh.
Now, what would you imagine they would be in South Oz, Snowman?
I would have thought your outer suburbs straight away. That's what I would have thought.
Okay.
Only because I came from an outer suburb that...
And you were heavily involved in the crime. Well, this is a real slap for South Australia because the first cab off the rank on this list for South Australia is Adelaide.
Whoa!
The whole city.
the whole thing.
Well, with the postcode of 5,000. So, Adelaide. This is not in order, I don't think, folks. Don't panic. Clovelly Park. Glenelg.
The Bay.
That's frightening. And next door to the Bay, Brighton.
You've been down that way for a while, haven't you?
Yeah.
Nicky boy, your son.
Crime rate's gone up. and North Adelaide. Who would have thought?
Well, I suppose when you look at, though, in the CBD, Brighton, Glenelg and North Adelaide, they are quite...
They're populated, but they get a lot of influx, like visitors, especially Glenelg being the premier beach of Adelaide. Mm. That gets a hell of a lot of visitors. So maybe... I don't think it's the people there. I think it would be the visitors, you know. On the list in Victoria... Collingwood.
That doesn't surprise you, does it?
Yeah, no. Anything else we should mention on that? No, not a lot of these suburbs will mean anything, but Collingwood in the Victorian list.
Yep.
But that's interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
Based on crime statistics. Now, it doesn't say what crimes.
No.
They may be petty crimes, but yeah.
Crimes nonetheless.
Wear that with pride today, people.
There you go, whatever suburb you're from.
Adelaide, Clovelly Park, Glenelg, Brighton, or North Adelaide.
Hey,
yes.
I saw something in today's paper, and I'm going to put my cards on the table and say I support this. And it's a young lady from the SA Industrial Hemp Association, President Theresa McDonald, who has said we need to allow the growing of hemp in SA to diversify a stalling economy. And I've got to agree with her. Now, a very good friend of mine and some of his business colleagues, and this man is an international businessman. He's not just a local fish and chip shop businessman. We're talking a global businessman.
Well, he's got fish and chip shops
all over the world. But no, he is a global businessman.
Yep.
And he is pushing for the South Australian government to allow hemp to be grown in South Australia. And I'm not just talking 9 plants in a bedroom. I'm talking using the old Holden site as a factory to actually start growing for medicinal purposes.
Medicinal.
Manufacturing purposes.
Mm. You make clothes out of it. You can make rope out of it.
The stuff that you can derive from hemp is phenomenal. Forget the wacky tobacco side of it. Absolutely forget that. But from medicinal purposes, the industries that it can support and that it can create. And we're talking in the billions, and we have got a golden opportunity as a state to actually get behind this. It just seems like always, whenever it comes to,
we're too nervous.
A majority of the Labor Party, they're spin masters. They are all talk, no action, and won't get behind things because this is different. This is creating a future, and they have no vision whatsoever. So I say congratulations to Theresa for actually going to Parliament and having the opportunity to actually explain to them what this means. She's already got 20 farmers, okay? So 20 farmers who are competing with every other farmer to grow whatever crop they are.
Yeah.
saying...
And a lot of those farmers are doing it tough. If you could introduce something that is easy to grow, guaranteed profit.
Absolutely.
Gee, it lifts South Australia up, doesn't it?
It is, it is a huge, huge, huge industry, and we should be the leaders in it.
So, I mean, I've got a friend of mine who had a chronic illness and a life-threatening illness.
Yep.
He started growing his own marijuana, which is against the law as it stands. He has two drops of the oil every day, and he claims he beat this illness.
Wow.
And I believe him. He's a really good
fellow. But he's not using it to smoke. He's using it for the medicinal purpose just to get
the
oil.
Under the laws, he's not really supposed to do that.
No.
But he said, I can prove to you that this basically saved my life. And he's a decent bloke, a great bloke, and he swears by it. And every day he has two drops under his tongue, and he said it keeps me alive.
And isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Yeah, and so, I believe him.
Yeah. So why aren't we as a state looking at this seriously and not, I mean...
Well, there have been tests done and surveys done, studies done that it with certain illnesses, it does have a soothing effect and a correcting effect.
I guarantee you, Jay Weatherall was pushing for the nuclear site. And I'm a 50-50 on it. I think it's great for the state, but then I do worry about the implications from an environmental point of view. Okay, exactly.
I think we should grab it as long as it can be guaranteed that what goes into the ground, it's wrapped in all the right gear and there's not a possibility of it getting into any water course. If they all tick the box, I think we should
look at it.
It's worth billions.
But this is worth billions. This is worth...
We'd have the perfect climate, wouldn't we?
We have.
Didn't the drug trade start here in South Australia, the marijuana trade?
Absolutely.
It was headquarters.
It was huge.
Back in the 60s and 70s.
And that's when the economy was absolutely thriving because there was so much cash money out there. We've got to look at this. You've got to look at this. We have to.
You know too much about this, no man.
I do. Mm. I'm absolutely for it because it's an industry.
Or at least go down the path and have a good look at it.
Absolutely.
Not be frightened of it the word hemp is in there.
I guarantee if you put that to a public vote, and once again, a lot of people that are opposing the nuclear did it based on good reason. They weren't just standing there going, no, I don't think so. They actually were legitimate people that actually had a very good understanding of why we shouldn't do it. Okay, and that's all good. But I guarantee if you put this and you spoke to the right people, they would give you the absolute tick of approval. How many people do you know that have died of marijuana? In all the years you've done a news story, how many people have overdosed or died on marijuana?
None that I know of.
No.
That I can think
of. Yeah, we hear about coke, we hear about other drugs.
Nice.
Now, I'm not saying we need to grow it to smoke it. Not at all. I'm saying we need to grow it for an industry that is worth billions of dollars to our economy.
For all the other uses of hemp.
Absolutely.
You're smarter than you look, Snowman. Hey, the magnificent $40 million bridge that connects the city with Adelaide Oval.
Built out of hemp.
It's going to be closed.
Sorry?
It's going to be closed.
Sorry?
Well, it's going to be restricted. Right through the footy season, one at a time.
One way.
Right through the footy season?
No.
With the new plaza development going on.
God, what a joke.
So it's going to put a real burden on people finding a way into Adelaide Oval. They're suggesting the King William Street Bridge.
Yep.
There will be access, but they're suggesting it only for train passengers.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone else that comes into the city and funnels their way down, it's going to be really tight on the bridge. While it is out of action and low traffic, I would think it would be a good opportunity to make the bloody thing wider.
Yeah, that would be smart, wouldn't it?
Another 2 or 3 metres, people, because it is tight. You come out of a game and you're shuffling along like a 90-year-old, no offence, 90-year-olds, you know, about a half a pace a minute.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do that, if you're going to restrict access, whack another couple of metres on it.
Absolutely.
Just my view.
So we can't get a hospital
going?
What about
Port
Adelaide? Can't get a bridge going?
who march across there with the band? What do they do now?
Can't march. Got to wait.
Well, I don't think they
single
can.
File.
Single file.
That's what you're
going
to do.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
JR and Snowy filling in for Roo and Dits.
Oh, we got a round of applause.
We did.
Fantastic.
They are back in 2017, all thanks to Chibo, the new app, your chance to win a Ferrari 360 Spider. That would make you very happy.
Very happy.
If you won that.
Yep. I'd love that.
You'd be very disappointed though if someone maybe rang you up and said, look, you got third. You missed out altogether because there's another prize.
Oh, like a Mixmaster.
Well, you receive a Prancing Horse supercar drive for a day with friends in a 458 Ferrari and a Lamborghini Huracan. So first is amazing. Second, great.
Yeah.
Nothing for third.
Oh, no third.
No third. But you got to love yesterday morning while you and I were talking on the airwaves.
Yeah.
Koshy lost himself. He lost it.
Doesn't do it very often, the president of the Port Adelaide Footy Club.
No. bit
former
upset.
Largs Bay boy.
He was. You went to school with him?
I did. And kindergarten. There you go. In that order. We went to school, then we then went to kindergarten.
Yesterday on Sunrise, they obviously do the cash cow.
Yeah.
The cash cow had a lot of money to give away. And all you have to do is just when they ring you.
Yeah, three rings.
That's
pick
it.
Pick it up.
Answer the phone.
Yep.
How are you going, Sunrise?
Yeah.
This bloke, though, didn't do that. Have a listen to this.
Wake up with today, hello.
Oh! You stupid man! John Brewer, why the frick would you wake up with today? I'm not sure. We're going to give you the bloody cash now, you two-time. It's Australia's number one breakfast program. Not the imitators. It's Sunrise, John.
Is that David Koch?
It is, John.
Oh, you're joking, David. You're I've seen other people do it, Dave, but then he said, I know you get a laugh
out of it. No, don't you talk your way out of a brewer.
Gee, he hooked in.
It wasn't happy. So it got us thinking, when has radio or television gone to give prizes away?
Yeah.
And the person at the other end has said either said something wrong or actually said, no, I actually don't want it. I want to reject the prize.
When would you ever say no to something for nothing?
Well, have a listen to this.
I'm looking at you.
This was Ray Hadley from a few years ago who had some tickets to give away.
Yeah.
Big tickets, not your movie tickets. Yeah. Trip for two to London.
My name, Alice.
Alice, yeah.
Are you from Seven Hills?
Yes.
Guess what?
Yeah.
You're going to London.
Oh, no. I don't really want to go to London. I'm too old.
Are you? Have you got someone that could go with you and look after you?
I've got my daughter, Tanya.
Well, what about you take Tanya to London for the Chelsea Flower Show?
Oh, no, I hate to refuse it, but...
You don't want to go?
No, I wish there was another prize.
I've got to say, in 30 years of radio, I've never had anyone knock back a prize, particularly at London.
I love it.
Why did you enter the competition, dear?
Exactly.
In the first place.
Yep, to knock it back.
And the daughter would be listening, going, hang on, Mum.
We're going.
Let's not say no straight away.
I don't give a rip about the flower show. We're going to London.
Ruined It's for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
JR and Snowy filling in for Ruined It's. The boys back in 2017, if you don't mind. Top of 26, though, with a chance of maybe some rain, John, or a thunderstorm this afternoon.
I can't see it happening myself.
It looks nice now. But it might happen. You are short-sighted too. We're here thanks to Chibo, the new app. Get it, download it, order a coffee through it, and you could get yourself a Ferrari 360 Spider. That is a damn nice price. Ooh, hey, the Power Boys.
Yeah. Shanghai.
They are.
Round 8 next year.
I'd love to be that. Wouldn't that be unreal?
Against the Suns in Shanghai. Mm-hmm. And gee, I reckon it's a great move by the Port Adelaide Footy Club. It's just outside of the box.
Yep.
And, you know, the potential is there. China is a massive, massive country. We sell a lot of wine there that they didn't used to drink. And all sorts of products go there. So why can't they get on board AFL footy?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, one man that is over there with the team, and Kenny Hinckley's over there playing table tennis, is, of course, the captain of the Power. Travis Boak joins us this morning. Ni hao.
Ni hao.
Ni hao.
That's like the only word I know. That one and shishi means thank you. So
okay. Chop suey, or is that still in vogue?
Maybe.
T-Boke, the captain of the one and only Power. Mate, you're over there in China at the moment.
Yeah, we are. It's we got over here Monday morning, I think it is. 1 a.m. we got into the hotel, and I had to get up at 6 o'clock the next morning and straight into training. So it was an early start the first day, but... it's actually really nice over here. I was expecting probably a little bit worse, but it's a beautiful city and it's been really good so far.
Bucky, we had some pictures of you and the boys over there in Shanghai on the news last night. You're reasonably rugged up. Is it cold or is it just okay?
The first day was actually quite nice. The sun came out and by mid-afternoon it was actually quite a nice day. I think it got to about 20 degrees. So, but since then it's been freezing cold and the boys have got the skins on, the beanies on, jumpers on to start training. So either it's cold or we're just soaked. So, but it has been a little bit chilly and quite a bit different to back home because it's just starting to warm up, I think.
Yeah, we had a beautiful day yesterday. Mate, what do you think of the whole plan to take the team over there and play the Suns? I think it's in May, round 8, I think.
Well, I just think it's an amazing concept, the club. club have been able to achieve. And to take our game over to China is just a huge thing for the club, a huge thing for the AFL. And what it does, it, you know, and we know in Australia that, you know, sport brings, you know, cultures together and communities together. And that's sort of what we're trying to achieve over here as well, and sort of form a great relationship with the Chinese. And since we've come over here, they've really embraced the game. I mean, we've had a few clinics, we've had a few, you know, functions and things like that, and they've absolutely loved our game. And, and it's great to see. And it's sort of building a relationship a lot stronger. And hopefully we can get a fair crowd to the game, and they can really enjoy the game.
Mate, imagine if we got 1% of the population of China as members of the Port Adelaide Football Club.
It would be huge.
Oh, gee. I've done the maths, huge. But it would be enormous.
There's a few people over here.
Yeah.
And a few buildings, I'll tell you what. It is quite a big city.
So what's the condition of the oval like that you're going to be playing at, the facilities? Have you had a look at those yet?
Yeah, so we went for a tour there the first day we came over. And the ground, like the surface of the ground, they're just starting to do up, and it looks amazing. I don't know if it'll be Adelaide Oval quality, but it will certainly be you know, AFL standard quality. And already it looked incredible. And the stand, it felt like you're in a Coliseum. I think Keith's spoken about it before. It just has so much history, and it's a really old sort of place. And I think, you know, the people who are going to come over and even watch it on TV will absolutely love it. It's got so much history, and I think they're going to do it up a little bit more. There's still so much to go into it, but it's going to be pretty pretty special place to play it.
Well, good on the club for having a crack. It's different. It takes the game to another dimension, and we're at the forefront of a lot of those changes, our club. So well done to Port Adelaide. One thing Port Adelaide hasn't done well, and I don't know whether you're involved in this, Bakey, but Movember. There's a photo in the paper today of the boys. I don't know whether you're involved. I didn't see whether you had a mow on yesterday in China.
No.
But Hamish Hartlett, goodness me. Thank God it's over. He can shave it off tomorrow. It's a bad Mexican moustache.
Yeah, I'm not sure how he can pull off the moustache. He's a good-looking lad, but I don't know if he can pull off the moustache. But look, the boys, I think there's a fair few that did it, and Nixie was sort of at the front of that as well. I think he had a experience with a friend, and it was pretty close to his heart. But the boys were great in raising some money, and good on them. And, you know, they didn't look great, but they certainly raised some money. So it was a fantastic cause.
Ross Waite in the photo doesn't even look like he's got a moustache.
Yeah. He gave it a shot.
A few boys that actually struggled to get a bit of hair on the face, so at least that a crack.
Buggy, terrific, mate. Thanks for joining us, and all the best to the group over there.
Absolutely. Just quickly, are you hanging out with the Chinese billionaire? Are you staying at his digs? Is he looking after you, or are you just in a hotel motel somewhere like a formula?
No, well, there's a fair bit of traffic over here, so I was thinking he might have had his chopper for the week and just sort of could have flown around Shanghai in his chopper. But no, we haven't done that yet. We've just got our own bus with all our faces on it. So, it's been quite nice.
Being bloody Griswolds to him.
The airport, and here's this bus with Port Adelaide players on the side of the bus. That was pretty cool. But we've got a function tomorrow night, and I think he's going to be there. So it'll be quite interesting.
Hey, awesome. Buggy, send us a photo of the bus, and we'll put it on the Triple M website.
Yeah, on the Facebook page. Yeah.
We will.
Okay. All right, champion.
I'll send it through.
Good on you, brother.
Enjoy your time. Much, no worries at all.
Guys, thanks for joining us on this catch-up. It's thanks to Prezi Digital Gift Cards. This will become your festive season lifesaver. It makes it easy to buy for everyone on your list. So with Prezi, what you do, you buy a digital gift card. Major retailers are all there. Meijer, David Jones, JB Hi-Fi and more. So with these digital gift cards, you can have them sent instantly, straight to your friend's phone, or you can have them scheduled for later on. Great idea. So when you buy any gift card today at digitalgiftcards.com.au, you might win yourself an extra gift card worth $250, 10 of those to give away. digitalgiftcards.com.au, permit number LTPM 160177.
Triple M. Thursday, Jay on Snowy filling in for Ruined Its. Good morning to you. 16 it is at the moment. Maybe some thunderstorms to Savo. So if you've got the washing on the line, John, you might want to take it off because it might get wet.
Might fly next door.
Could. You don't want that to happen.
Reg Grundy scattered around the suburbs.
Hey, Adam Spencer, very, very smart man. We've seen him a lot on the ABC. He used to be on the J's and has written a few books. And some of the books have been, I tell you what, they bend the brain. They bend the brain.
Have you got to the end of one?
No.
Because you're not that smart, are you?
Just trying to get past the introductions hard enough, let alone into chapter one. But he's got a new book out. It's called Time Machine. And he joins this morning, Adam Spencer. Hello, buddy.
JR, Snowy, how are you? We'll take it nice and gently at this time of the morning, boys.
Yeah,
don't
just
panic.
Small steps, if you wouldn't mind, Adam. Small steps for us. It's early start for us, and we're not the sharpest tools in the shed.
If we can ring you back at one this afternoon, we'll be fine.
mate, it sounds good. A wild ride through the ages. What's not covered in here is not worth knowing about, from what I can understand.
Yeah, I start with the earliest known calculating device we found, a baboon's fibula from 10,000 plus years ago with grooves carved in the side that we think was a calendar or some chart of female fertility or something. I end with a mathematical proof from earlier this year. Get this, a maths proof from earlier this year done by a supercomputer. 200 terabytes of data it took. It would take a person 10 billion years to read that single proof. And on the way, I just stop. It's a sort of a history of human thought, mathematics, science, and just bizarre, weird things we've done to ourselves and each other on the way.
Gee, that computer that you're talking about wasn't a Commodore 64, clearly, was it?
And it had even more grunt than the amazing thing about the Commodore 64, when we land on the moon, the moon unit had 70K of RAM on its onboard computer. 15 years later, you've got something the same size, the Commodore 64, on your desk, and you're playing Frogger on it. That's an incredible rate of change.
That's what they did up on the moon. Played Frogger.
Sorry?
Mate, I'm fascinated as how you go about, going down a path for this book. What goes through your mind? What am I going to do? What's my goal here that I want to put on these pages of this book?
I'm constantly just accumulating stuff that I find interesting. The only criteria to be in any of my books is I think that's interesting. Now, over time, thankfully, a lot of other people think it's interesting too. A big part of it's maths and science. That's my background. So a real push with my book is to take your sort of young teenage through to teenage kids who are curious, bright, the sort of nephew you'd be thinking, okay, going to have to buy him another Doctor Who DVD this Christmas. No, I like to reach out to those kids and make them realize that if you've got a bent for it, maths and science, now is the time for young people to be throwing themselves. We need a generation of them, and there's not enough interesting stuff for them to read over Christmas out there. So I really aim at that audience just to stimulate the minds of young people, get them thinking about the incredible world we live in and maybe what they can do to contribute.
Is that maybe why, and we saw this over the press yesterday, Adam, that mathematics and science, particularly in South Australia, is at an all-time low. Kazakhstan is doing better than us. Is that because it's just not exciting enough? It's not invigorating enough for the kids of today?
It's a challenge. It's funny. People laugh at the Kazakhstan thing and they make the Borat jokes and all that. But Kazakhstan 5 years ago were not happy with where they sat on the world scale and started a 5-year program, and they are shooting up the charts as a result. So it can be turned around, but it's not the sort of thing that you just flick a switch. It takes time. We need, and I mean no disrespect to primary school teachers. I love them. I've got two kids myself in primary school. But we need more primary school teachers who are really passionately and professionally able with science in particular. What I'd love to see in every primary school is one dedicated science teacher with one room that is the school lab, and all the kids roll through that. We do it with music. Yeah. We do it with sport. In schools that have done it, that goes off the charts, boys. You have kids queuing up at lunchtime waiting to be first in for the lesson after lunch. Because think about your normal classroom. Miss Smith's not going to set something on fire or run a few volts through something and see how it goes. I mean, you think helicopter parents are bad if their kids aren't in the school photo properly. Imagine if Johnny gets, smoke inhalation. So you need qualified people who know what they're doing. But if they bring science to kids, their eyes light up and you've got them for life.
Well, we had a teacher at Salisbury High School called Mr. Steele, or Steelo. Everyone called him Steelo. They never called him Mr. Steele. And he was the cool dude. He had a 1969 Mustang.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to picture this dude. He had the mullet, tight jeans. He was Steelo. And you're exactly right. We love science. And he said, first lesson, righto, we're going to blow some stuff up, get it out of the way, and then we're getting into it. And he wasn't, like you said, Adam, well, you didn't say he was pompous, but he wasn't a pompous sort. He was a cool dude, and you wanted to be a part of it.
Well, Dean Hunt,
and he was professionally qualified, and he was confident in doing it. Yep. That's the thing with science in particular. Kids in a school environment can smell fear. The moment they know that the teacher up the front doesn't really understand what they're talking about as well as maybe some kids in the class. You know that moment in high school when your teacher is looking in terror at young Simone, thinking if she asks one more incisive question about polynomials, I am cooked here.
Well,
we
Snowy,
don't want that to be happening.
Snowy's never seen that look at him because he wasn't at school all that often. he was missing most days. Dean Hutton that did the science
curiosity
shows over
show.
Here, Curiosity Show and things like that, you know, his audiences still sit there mesmerised with some of the stuff that he does. So there's a place for it, absolutely. Hey, mate, I've got to ask you, this is such, you've taken a few swerves and curves in this book. Moments in, amazing moments in warfare, and the other one I picked up, some of the worst jobs humans have ever had to do.
Yeah, I like looking through some of the bizarre, weird things people have found themselves doing. Here's my favourite job in the book. If you're the King of England back in medieval times, you're out in the forest and you need to go, you don't just pop behind a tree. You're the King of England, right? You click your fingers. And the guy whose job it was to carry around your portable toilet and modesty curtain will assemble it and off you go and do your business. That guy was known as the groom of the stool because he carried the king's toilet stool. But get this. It's a gross job. You know, you've got to clean up afterwards and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was one of the most prized jobs in England because a couple of times a day, 5 minutes, just you and the king, just the two of you with him at his most vulnerable, and you could chat to him. So I'm picturing this sort of thing of the king's there doing his business and you're leaning in going, look, Your Excellency, if you don't really love her anymore, why don't you just cut her head off, create your own church, and we'll go and invade the French. Let's get this on. The groom of the stool was one of the most influential, powerful positions in all of Europe because you carried the king's portable dunny.
Thought it was a shit job, though.
Dad, what do you do?
Hey, Adam, love it. This looks like a good one for Christmas.
And, yeah, I was going to say, let's say the magic line. Is it coming out in time for Christmas?
You're not going to believe it, boss. It's in good bookstores now.
No. Right now. Just in time for Christmas.
If you want a signed copy, you can go to adamspencer.com.au. Yep. All the ones purchased from the website come signed, but they're at all good bookstores anyway, and particularly good, those incurious, adults love them too, but your smart, sharp, switched on 11 to 16-year-olds just eat this stuff up.
Mate, I think I'm going to order one for my son. Thank you so much for your time, Adam Spencer. The book called Time Machine. And thank you for enlightening us about the groom of the stool.
It should be an award, shouldn't it?
That's going to be our new breakfast show, now. Whenever we get back on the airwaves. It's the grooms of the stool.
Have a great day, boy.
Good on you, mate.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Got to hand it to the Canadians. They're out there. I
love them.
I quite like the Canadians. I've got a mate here who's from Canadia, as I call it, and he's a good bloke. So this is interesting. This is a new measure by law enforcement in one part of Canada to make drink drivers really adhere to the law.
Well, it's the festive season, isn't it?
It is the festive season. They're a bit worried that it's going to go out of control. So one bright spark in the police force has come up with a novel punishment. He's going to punish drink drivers by making them listen to Nickelback.
One of the greatest exports from Canada.
Exactly. I mean, I'm actually a bit of a fan.
I don't mind them.
Well, I don't see that as a deterrent. But residents of Prince Edward Island have been warned that in addition to fines and criminal charges, which that's fine, that should apply
to
drink
drivers. So you're still going to get your fines,
They will also be made to listen to the officer's copy of Nickelback on the way to jail. So you're in the back seat behind the iron grill at the back of the seat of the patrol car. You're handcuffed. You're not feeling too good. You've been arrested. And you cop about 20 minutes back to the station of Nickelback.
I love it. Just sit there. I didn't mean to do it.
And I would suggest it would be played at a reasonably high volume.
You would think so.
What's been the feedback from that? Is there a good response to it, or
what with
to this move by the constable?
Well, we don't know yet whether it's deterred people from drink driving, but I reckon it'll have a severe influence. That's for sure. A great punishment. Fitting punishment, some would say. If you're going to be stupid and drink and drive, you are a bloody idiot. I'd love to know, though, on 133353, not so much your punishments that you've had from the constabulary, the police, but the punishments your mum and dad gave you for being stupid. Because I had a mate of mine, and this is going back a while, Luke Berry, and I'm sure he's listening, but he was punished, and I mean grounded, for 3 months. Like, it was after school you went to your bedroom for 3 months. Because he got caught whacking it at Paramount.
How long? To the
3 months. 3 months he was locked away for. He could go to school. He could come out for tea. Had to do the dishes. Back to bed. That was about it. But the punishments that mum and dad served, handed down on you for doing the dumb things.
Families
just
say to have a crack at that one. 3 months they would locked
now.
Away.
They would now. But 133353, what are the punishments that you received? And did it fit the crime? Was the crime that severe that you deserve to be punished to the way that you did
I
do.
I got a couple of thrashings I'm sure did I didn't you? Deserve. Sure I didn't deserve.
It's Fiona's fault, your sister. 133353, the punishments that you were handed down for crimes maybe you didn't think you did. Like you?
I tell you what, in my era, there were no holds barred. Don't worry about that.
You got the wooden spoon and the rest.
The copper stick.
Ooh. That would have brought welts. That would have brought welts.
104.7 Triple M.
Police in Canada have a sense of humour,
interesting
John.
Punishment over there. They think people that drink drive need to be not only jailed, but on the way back to jail, this particular officer said, if I catch you drink driving all the way back to the station house, 20-odd minutes or so, I'm going to play you Nickelback.
So that's a sing-along song when you're half cut.
I love this song.
You'd want to sort of beam it out through the speaker on top of the police car as well.
Here's my quest. I'm heading to Canada this afternoon. I'm going to have a couple and drive, and there's no Nickelback. It's interesting.
I do like it, though, that on the post on Facebook it says, so please, let's not ruin a perfectly good unopened copy of Nickelback. You don't drink and drive, we won't make you listen to it. Love it. Hey, we're asking about your cruel capital punishments that were handed down potentially
this is pretty cruel.
By mum and dad or maybe some other people. Leslie of Port Elliot, good morning, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks.
You're in the military.
I was at one point, for my tenure. And the punishment, which has scarred me to this day...
Yes.
Was really quite simple. You're not allowed to put your hand in your pocket at any stage. And whilst during training at military college, it was about -6 in the UK at the time in the winter. And I stuck my hand in my pocket because it was early morning and I thought I'd shuffle along to breakfast. Unbeknownst to me, the regimental sergeant major, the college sergeant major, was looking out of his window and became purple with rage and screamed across the square at me, Mr. Turner, come here immediately. I shuffled over to him very, very quickly, knowing what I'd done wrong. And as a punishment, he made me sew all the pockets of my trousers and jackets, everything.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and to this day, I really can't put my hands in my pockets.
Well, I heard that, especially at the pub when it's your shout.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a tight bugger where that's concerned as well.
So it's actually had a real effect on you that you cannot put your hands in your pockets because of...
It's had a lasting effect. I really don't know what to do with my hands. I do not walk around with my hands in my pockets.
Jeez, that's incredible.
Remarkable. And hand sewing, of course, Leslie.
Yeah, well... You learn that as well. So you learn pretty fast when you get told you've got to do something. So and repetition is the mother of all learning. So
it is.
Well, he was setting you up for a future, you know, as a seamstress.
absolutely.
He was trying to help you along the way.
Wow, Leslie, thank you very much indeed.
Can't put his hand in his pockets.
133353.
Daz, a double whammy for you.
Yes, unfortunately, I was a rat bag at school one day, and I got the yard ruler at school.
Mm.
Got home and, when my mum could cook tea for us, I'd gone to the kitchen table and tried to sit down as gingerly as I could. And, the old man immediately jumped to attention, grabbed his belt from around his waist and says, did you learn your lesson, son?
So you got a flogging as well at home.
Roger, mate.
Love it. Good on you, Daz. Alan of Highmarsh, good morning to you.
G'day. How are you?
All right, mate. What was your punishment?
Well, actually, it wasn't mine. It was my brother's. And he, in his life, he copped a double whammy because he was at school and the PE master would actually pick on people in those days. And he had a leather strap that had two. Now, because it was two pieces of leather that were stuck together, it had a couple of little tacks in the end of it, but it came apart. And he used that across my brother's back, so my father went down to school and sorted him out. punishment at home involved being sent to the top of the stairs and standing on the landing. And the flight of stairs was about 14, 15 stairs high. And my brother was up. It was him again, you see, because I always used to get away with it and say, look, it wasn't me, it was him.
When in doubt, dobbing
anyway,
the brother.
He's up the top of the stairs and he's swaying backwards and forwards because that's what you do to amuse yourself when you stand there for 15 minutes. roly poly, head over heels down the bottom of the stairs. He didn't get hurt too much because he just rolled up into a ball, so he was very, very lucky.
Very lucky.
The human wrecking ball.
Thank you, Alan. Your punishments. I reckon Leslie, who got caught by the major or whatever it was, the chief marshal, for putting his hands in the pockets.
And to this day, will not buy a drink. Can't get his hand in his pocket.
We're going to give him a double to go along to Wallace Cinemas, any Wallace Cinemas. So well done to you, Leslie.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
JR and Snowy filling in for Roo and Dits, the boys on holidays back in 2017. Also back in 2017, a lot of our favourite TV shows, Johnny Boy, coming back.
What do you got?
There'll be a fair few, I'm sure, coming back on Channel 7 with Border Patrol and blah, 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 and stuff like that. But one I am looking forward to because this lady, she is she's as funny as a hatful of you-know-whats. She is hilarious.
Monkeys?
We absolutely love her. Could be monkeys. Well, we're talking about the beautiful, the spunky, the bloody slim Julia Morris. Good morning to you, you love.
Good morning. How are you, kid?
We're real good.
Oh, we're hopeless, actually.
Why?
Hopeless. Oh, we've got no idea what's going on.
No, we're just pressing buttons.
You know why? It's because we're all hurtling towards the Christmas thinking, how is this not all shut down by now?
Yeah, that's right. Why are we still here and why that's are we so facing great. Another Christmas so soon?
Oh, my gosh. It was 4 seconds ago we had the last one.
Stupid. Is it twice a year? Is it twice a year Christmas?
Feels like
it's financially and emotionally it's feeling like it.
and then there's the rallies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dear Lord. Now, mine are coming down. I said, look, let me take care of the airfares. And that way I get to book and get rid of everyone on the day I want them to go. Oh, no, did I book that one? Oh, no, it's all booked out now.
Yeah, you'll have to go tomorrow morning at 0600.
And you know it's not Christmas, but it's Tiger as well.
Yeah, it's not ideal. I mean, literally, I think they just get a hand strap, don't you? You don't actually get a seat.
No.
It's just like being on the bus. Everyone stands and moves to one side if someone needs to get through.
Well, there's a Christmas present next year, Julia. Yeah. You do it again. You do a one-way ticket and then you send them home on the bus.
Oh, I don't mind that. Mind you, my dad used to love coming down to Melbourne on the train. And I don't say how many people did you meet. He would have met everyone on the train. And we always go, oh, God, poor people on the train. They'd be like, oh, God, here comes that old man again.
Well, is he the conductor?
My dad, he should have been checking tickets. He'd be like, hey, just anything for an amazing conversation.
Yeah.
Hey, Jules, we want to have a chat to you because one of the highlight shows of the year is not so much the celebs being in the jungle, but it's you and Dr. Chris Brown with I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. You just are naughty.
We have such a ball, and he's got such a beautiful sense of humour, the kind doctor.
Mm.
So I get to wind him up, you know, every single day. It's the best.
He's a handsome beast.
Oh, God, love him. He means well. I call him Lurch. I'm like, how's it rocking today, Lurch?
does he have an affectionate nickname for you?
I'm sure, like Bush Pig or something. Oh, who knows? I mean, who knows? That's a guess. That's a guess.
Well,
love of my life. I don't know. There's all sorts of things I'm sure he calls me.
I'm sure he does. Hey, Johnny Boy, you got a question. You want to ask this question because we were just talking about it off air. You know, what actually goes on behind the scenes?
Yeah. Are you actually in the jungle?
Yeah, we're on what we call the low veld in South Africa.
Yeah.
And when those, the cameras don't turn off for our celebrities, they do not leave that campsite that you watch them doing their day-to-day chores in.
Wow.
And then Dr. Chris and I repair back into our incredibly luxurious private homes when the show finishes on a Thursday, and we sort of return to camp on the Sunday when it's time for the big show.
Wow. How good is South Africa?
It's dreamy. Mm. It's dreamy. And, you know, there's a really big crew that come over with us. There's just on 470 of us.
What?
Yeah. So half of that crew are South African and the other half are Australian. And by the time we all get to the set, we're just one big happy family. It's amazing.
Well, Julia, I'm a bit surprised that they're still allowing this to happen in South Africa. And more so after this morning, John was telling us about some of the criminal activity that happens around Australia. Maybe we thought that I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here should be in places like Penshurst or North Stratfield in New South Wales.
Yeah, you'd keep your wits about you, wouldn't you? I went to school in Stratfield, so I am very fond of Stratfield and the surrounding areas.
But don't you think they would add a different dimension of trying to survive in a suburb like that as opposed to a jungle?
Yeah.
it'd be like, I'm a celebrity, get me out of this urban environment that I'm just a little bit scared of. Yeah. Because, the quinoa I had for breakfast is playing up.
There's a new show. Yeah. Hey, Julie, I want to read you a line and I want you to think who this could be referring to. Uh-oh. You ready?
Yeah.
The super sexy diva of comedy is deeply, fundamentally funny. That was in the Sydney Morning Herald.
Oh,
another one,
that.
She can reduce an audience to a limp heap of laughed out exhaustion. A jewel in the National Crown, Adelaide Advertiser. Who would that be?
Because we're trying to find her.
Well, whoever she is, she sounds amazing. I want her to be my friend.
Well, I tell you what, they're talking about you.
Ooh.
Talking about you,
dear. I do encourage drinking during my shows, I will say that.
But you're coming to Adelaide with a brand new show.
I'm pretty excited. I'll actually book any gigs in that I can to come to Adelaide just so I can pop into Miss Gladys Simtune and do my buying because I love every single floor. I'm like a stalker in that shop. I'm like, yeah, let's go to Adelaide for that. Oh, yeah, totally. I can go into the morning as long as there's another hour on either side so I can go in.
Now, would you like to reveal the name of your show? Because I'm interested in this.
The show is called Lift and Separate.
Yes, and we have Playtex on the line at the moment, and they're going you for all sorts of money for stealing
their line. No, they'd be delighted I'm doing both. They'd be delighted that I'm lifting, and I reckon they'd be through the moon that I'm separating.
And all at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Lift and Separate comes on every level in life. It's not actually just about
braziers,
lifting a lady's items. Mm-hmm. It's also about when does the first half of your life come to a natural conclusion and when does the second half start? So I've been trying to work that out over the last few years and I've gathered some very funny stories together.
Well, we look forward to hearing those stories. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, back in 2017 as well. Have yourself a Merry Christmas, young lady.
Thank you so much. It's just so lovely to speak to you.
You're only saying that because it's true.
That's absolutely factual. I'm not going to lie.
Julie Morris, thank you very much indeed.
The Ruined It's for Breakfast catch-up sounds better with a coffee. Save time and pre-order your coffee now on the new Jibo app. 104.7 Triple M.